Yeah, let's praise the Lord for a minute. Hallelujah. Praise Him. He said He inhabits the praises of His people. If we want to do anything, we need Him to inhabit us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be with my family, Wallace Ridge Pentecostal Church. And Brother Story called me at 3:30, so I fasted between 3:30 and 4. And go ahead, it's all right to laugh. Joy doeth good like a medicine, so we're just going to see what happens. So you know what? I've been with y'all going on 19 years, so I figure if I mess up, y'all going to keep me anyway. So you know what I mean? So, Brother Story, would you pray, and then we'll get on with it.
Lord, bless Brother Brett to teach today a good message that we could learn from the word of the Lord. Let the Spirit and anointing of heaven be in this house. Meet every need, we pray. And Lord, let the air conditioners work better. Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen. We can shout about that. So I'm going to talk to us today about the making of a champion. And my verse is going to be from 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 37. It's going to be 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 37. Let me get my eyes. I can't see nothing. Lord, have mercy. Starting to get old. We'll be young one day. So say amen when y'all get there. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." You can be seated. The question has been asked for centuries, especially from the secular world. Y'all have heard this. It's nothing new. How does a champion come into existence? Some say it's in the DNA, which it might be in the DNA, but I bear to say that it's not in the human DNA, what I'm going to be talking about. In other words, some are born stronger. Some are predisposed to be champions. We've seen it, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever his name was. You know, that big muscled-up guy, the one that came from Austria and come over here. It was in his DNA, right? Or Lou Ferrigno or whatever his name. They always got these funny names. You ever notice that, Sister Shirley? So maybe you got to have a funny name to be a champion. I don't know. But others say it's because of the circumstances that somebody grows up in or the environment. But I believe champions are born through adversity and pain. I believe it takes adversity and it takes pain for a champion to be born. Hardship and difficult circumstances cause champions to rise up out of the shadows. The ability to overcome difficulties are the stuff that champions are made of. As a child of God, it's my belief that some people become champions for God's purpose. And that is why we become champions. From a strict secular point of view, it's true that some folks, they're born. They got more talent than others. Some people can sing, like Brother Spanky. Some people can try, like Brother Britt. So, you know, some people, you know. But mere talent, is that really what it takes to be a champion? Is that what it takes to be prepared for the day of battle? I don't think so. I was doing a little research, and I was thinking about, and some of y'all may have not ever studied about sports, and especially about basketball, but I just happened to come across something about the 1992 LSU Tiger basketball team. At the time, and it was a big old boy from Texas. He was named Shaquille O'Neal. He was a big old feller, most talented basketball player to ever come into college. Guy named Stanley Roberts, guy named Chris Jackson. It was a dream team of basketball. It was the most talented team that LSU, probably the entire United States, had ever had. Well, they never made it past the first round of the playoffs. They couldn't win. They had the talent, but they didn't have what it took to be a champion. It takes more than talent. That's what I'm saying here. Because I got to looking back at Dale Brown in 1986. I remember this one well because I was watching this one. There was a couple old slow boys, and slow white boys that couldn't jump. One named Ricky Blanton and one named Don Redden. Anyway, he took them all the way to the Final Four. They went all the way to the Final Four that year. Why? Because what they had been through. It's not always about talent. It's not always about human strength. It's not always about who you was born, what your family, where you come from. Think about that for a minute. I mean, we all come from families that may not be considered by the world to be very much, but remember what God said in His Word. He said that He uses the things that are not to confound the wise. So, hey, I don't mind coming and being the least of the brethren and being the least from my own family. I don't mind. I don't mind that because I know that God can use anything, and He uses the things that are not, the things that are considered base, the things that are considered nothing. That same year, there was a team named Villanova. They were unranked, and there was a team called Georgetown. They had a guy named Patrick Ewan. He went on to be the MVP. He's a Hall of Famer now and all that good stuff. Villanova didn't have nothing. They didn't have nobody. They were a total bunch of nobodies. They won the championship that year because they had something in their DNA. They had something had prepared them for that championship. And when the time come, talent wasn't what got them over the top. It was the preparation that happened before, Sister Kathy. It was the preparation. It was the years. It was the times. So all of that's secular. How about biblically? From a biblical standpoint, it takes two things for a champion to exist. Number one, we got to be anointed. We got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's number one. If we don't have that, we can't be a champion, just as David was. In other words, we got to be called by God. Two, time of preparation. We got to have preparation. So in God, number one, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which many of you have. Number two, got to be called by God, and you got to have a time of preparation. Y'all forgive me. I'm going to drink some of this water. Good water. So God anoints us, gives us the strength to win the battles, and then He allows us to go through things to prepare us for the battle. So all the time that David spent in the field had prepared him for the meeting of Goliath. All that time, Sister Daphne, all that stuff that he went through, the thing that really stuck out to me the most was that David was prepared to become a king when he was a shepherd boy. That's when God prepared him to become a king. Whenever he's in the day-to-day, the monotonous, there wasn't nobody out there but him and all them sheep, Brother Chris. They was just out there doing his job. He was doing what his daddy told him to do, and it didn't seem like it was much to it. Well, that's where he was developed. That's where God prepared him. And from the time that Samuel anointed David to be king, it was 23 years from the time that he anointed him with the oil until he defeated Goliath. 23 years, that's a long time, or it seemed like a long time. And then it was 27 more years before he was seated on the throne of the kingdom. So 50 years it took him to get from the anointing to the throne. Think about that. A lot of stuff happened in between. Saul pursued him relentlessly, would have killed him if it hadn't been for God. But you see, when God calls you, no man can stop you. Now, you might suffer affliction as a Christian, but just wait a minute, because God's going to deliver you. And in His time and in His place and according to His will, He's going to make it happen. He'll fulfill the dream. You just got to make sure the dream's from God. Just make sure the dream's from Him. So I want to talk to us parents for a minute about our children. We got children. Maybe this message today Maybe it don't apply to me. Maybe it applies to my children. Maybe, is it possible that God may be calling one of your children to great things? I mean, think about it. It could be. Maybe it's not me. Maybe God. Maybe it's like Terah whenever when he had Abram. And Terah, if we go back and look and read the Bible, he's the one that took Abram and took the family and started going toward Canaan. He put all that in motion. He set all that in motion. So maybe we as parents, maybe our children, maybe God's called them to something great. I want you to think about the parents, think about the children. I want to talk about two of them for a minute. And the whole discussion's going to really revolve around Joseph from the book of Genesis and David. Because both of them were called, both of them were champions. Both of them have some amazing parallels, and they have some contrasts that I wanted to share with you. Both of them had fathers that served God. Both of them had devout fathers. Both of them had fathers that walked with God, served God, and all of that. Both were obedient to their fathers. Both of them. They were obedient to their fathers in all things and followed their command and their lead. So that's important right there to think about. Now here's where there was a difference that I noticed, or at least it appeared to me. And I'm not a theological scholar, so just bear with me in my folly. But one was favored by his father. The other one, at least to me, appeared not so much to be favored by his father. It looks to me that way. And we'll get into that. But both fathers were skeptical, Brother Spanky, about the call of God. Both of them. Both fathers were skeptical. Jesse left David tending the sheep, remember? I mean, that's where he had him. When the prophet called in 1 Samuel 17, he didn't bring David, remember? We all know this. This is pretty elementary, but I just wanted to show you what it takes to make a champion, what God showed me in just a little while. But what I seen here was that Jesse pretty well had wrote David off. He wrote him off. He's out there. Samuel, I need you to bring your sons because we're going to anoint a king today. He didn't bring him. So to me, that shows there wasn't a whole lot of favor there. So one spoke with sarcasm. So whenever you go back in Joseph, the dreamer, when he told about the dream, what did his father do? What did Jacob do? He said, well, your mother and I and your brothers bow down and serve you. He didn't believe in his calling. They didn't believe it. So for fathers and mothers, me and you and some of you, just make sure that, number one, we got our children in the right place. That's the house of God. Make sure that they're serving God. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. But in the day and the hour that we're living in, because they are faced with so many things, but we got to do our best. We got to get in between them and the world. We're going to have to get a hold of, and I'm talking to me, we're going to have to get a hold of cell phones. We're going to have to get a hold of television sets. We're going to have to get a hold of iPads. We might have to take a hammer to them, as Brother Poole used to say. Because I'm going to tell you something. They'll send us to hell. They'll send our kids to hell. And I'm worried about mine because they're living in a time like we ain't never seen. So other than that, teach them the principles of God. Admonish them in the ways of God. Make sure they got a man of God in their lives. That's important. Just like these two boys did here. David and Jesse, they had a man of God in their life. There's a reason why they became champions. Because they had somebody that was willing to put their hands on them, shape them, mold them, make them. I guarantee you there was times in there when things probably didn't feel too good. You know, the Bible don't give us every little detail, but they was parents. I guarantee you there was somewhere in there where something happened where Jesse was probably doing like me. That's the reason I ain't got no hair, because I'm always doing this because of my kids. Oh, God, done that again. Brother Darryl, that may be why what happened to him. I don't know. But I mean, oh, here we go again, you know. So we just got to keep going. We got to be patient with them. We do our part. God will do the rest, right? God will do the rest. We got to do our part, though. So whether it's me or whether it's my children, it don't matter. It don't matter if it's me or if it's our children and it's the church. God has called us and he wants to make us into champions. So why would God want or need or develop champions during this time? Why would he need that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God needs people to be champions of the faith. He needs ambassadors of Christ. The Bible said to occupy till he comes. And we think about that word occupy when we're doing our Bible study and our Bible reading. We might look at that word occupy and we might just bounce right over the top of it. Occupy. I just need to sit here. No. Occupy is a military term. It means to advance. It means to go out and it means to advance. It means to conquer. It means to take over. So that's what we got to be doing. If we're going to be ambassadors of Christ, like Brother Spanky said a couple of weeks ago, we got to wake up. The church has got to wake up and we got to get on the march and we got to advance. And whenever we advance, guess what's going to happen? Spiritual war. War's coming. We're going to go into battles and we're going to go into war just like David did, just like Joseph did. They was in two different kinds of wars, two different battles, but they was both in a fight, I can tell you that, in the fight of their life. And I guarantee you, they both felt it. And we feel it because we live in a time, like I said, like the world has never seen. But thank God we're living in that time. He's called us into the kingdom for such a time as this. And we ought to shout and praise God for it because he's got this. This is the people that the ends of the earth have come upon. He chose us to be the ones to win them here in this last time. And it's all about winning souls. And trust me, these places that people don't want to go. These places that people don't want to go, and they don't want to go for love or money, Brother Smith. They don't want to go. I tell you about something that happened right quick. I went to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, not Mississippi, Brother Story. We got into a bad storm over here coming from Houston to Alexandria, and we got turned back around, and I was sitting on this side, and there was this guy sitting on this other side, and thank God, you know, I didn't act like I usually act, Brother Story. I kept my composure, because, you know, I'm just being honest, so I didn't throw a fit or nothing, you know. I just stayed patient, and here we go. You know, I've been gone all this time. So we go over Alexandria, Sister Brenda, and we keep going and we circle around and around. We end up back over in Houston. So we get back over and we get off the plane. And I noticed the guy and I just kind of connected to him, but we didn't really talk, Sister Joyce. So I was sitting there and I got on my phone. I was calling Judy. Now I was ranting and raving by then. I'm ready to go home, you know. I'm fixing to go get a rental car. I'm getting to the house. I'm tired of this. So anyway, this guy walked up to me, and he said, "So you from Louisiana?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And I said, "You're a Pentecostal preacher, aren't you?" And he said, "How'd you know that?" And I said, "I just know." I said, "I can't tell you." I said, "But I know you are." He said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "You going to Brother Tenney's funeral?" And he said, "Yep, I sure am." And so we just kind of hit it off, and one thing led to another, and I'll try to make it short. But he wanted me, he said, I want you to come to my church in Philadelphia. He said, "You got something for my people." He said, "You can help my people." He said, "Would you do that?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." So we exchanged phone numbers, and he said, "Most of the time, whenever I do this," he said, "I never hear from these people." I said, "You're going to hear from me." So about a week later, I called him. I said, "I'll be there July the 15th. He said, "You coming?" I said, "I already got the plane ticket booked." So, and God had already given me a message for him. So, anyway, so we got to going, and hell just started breaking loose. So I got a little bit of a taste of what these preachers go through. I started fighting some battles like I ain't never fought before in my life. I mean, it just started happening, buddy. Started happening at home, started happening at work, on the job, every which way. Pressure like you ain't never seen in your life. We went on up there. We got in, and then somebody got on their little Facebook thing, and they started blabbing at the mouth like people do on Facebook. And I knew it was a shot across the bow. I knew it was directed at me. I knew it was. And it hurt. You know, I tell you what, people need to, and especially people that are in spiritual authority, they need to be careful what they do and what they put on things like that. But anyway, 5 or 10 minutes later, the guy called me from work, and he's ready. He's railing on me. He's ready to run me out of town. So all this happened, and I was like, and Judy just grabbed me, and she prayed for me, and She said, don't worry about it. She said, it's just an attack of the enemy. And, well, we was meeting Brother Barnaby. I said, let's go down there with a smile on our face. I said, we ain't going to say a word about none of this. We come here to help these people. We're not fixing to pile this on top of him. So we went. We had a good night that night. The old devil came again that night about 2 o'clock in the morning. I wrestled with him, and I won. I said, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I said, the Lord is with me. The Lord God is my Lord, and he's my God, and he sent me here, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. I rebuke you in his name. So that's what we got to do. We got to put him in his place. Whenever he comes in, we got to do like Brother Poole used to do. We got to roll over and say, oh, it's just you, and then just roll back over and go to sleep. Go back to sleep because he cannot stop the will of God. He can't stop it. And it's the same thing for you and your lives in Wallace Ridge Pentecostal Church. As champions in this room, as champions under the sound of my voice, this church is a championship church. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. We're going to have revival in this place, I'm telling you. So the next day we went down, and this was down in the inner city. We went, and we, Lord have mercy, we had to be careful. We had to kick our way through all the heroin needles. I ain't never seen nothing like it in my life. I've been in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. I've been in the worst places you can be over in West Africa. I've been down in some bad places down in South Africa. I've been in some slums over in Germany and over in Europe and some big-time slums in America. I ain't never seen nothing like Aglehenny Drive or whatever it was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Every 10 or 15 feet, somebody slumped over. They call it that heroin slump. And they would just slump like this right here and just standing there. And I mean by the hundreds of them. It ain't nothing like you ain't never seen. And garbage and trash like I ain't never seen in my life. And I've been some of the worst third world countries you ever been in your life. And Brother Barnaby, he just stops right in the middle of this thing and just goes to talking to people, and I'm scared to death. And then we get over there to the church, and I'm not trying to be crude, but people, anyway, it's all kinds of crazy stuff going on up there. So we go in, and he told us, he said, I've had people that I invited to come up here. When they get right here to the church and they see all this, they don't. Some of them don't even get out of the car. They call me on the phone. They say, we're leaving. So it's that bad. So I told him, I said, well, we're here. We're not leaving. So anyway, we went back the next morning. We preached. We spoke. And we talked about, and the message was being liberated from captivity. And at the end of the message, we had two get the Holy Ghost. One of them got baptized in Jesus' name. So, yes, give God the praise. Because that is the reason for the resistance. I mean, that's the reason we get resistance right there. When God's doing something, when he's up to something. Think about it. Whenever you go back into the book of Acts, they went, what happened? There was trouble all around, all the time, wasn't it? Always trouble, wasn't it? I mean, think about it. They was going through affliction, trouble, persecution all the time. But all of that was so that God could do what he was doing. And that's what it's doing with us. And trials develop character. Tests develop courage. Just like that. I mean, you got to have a little bit of courage to go in places like that. But it ain't about us. It ain't about me. You know what I mean? It's about him. It's about the gospel. It's about winning people to the Lord. And God is going to give us the ability. You know, it ain't. We don't have the ability. We don't have anything in us. The Bible said our righteousness is filthy rags. There's nothing in us that's good. We got to have God. If we don't have him, we can't do it anyway. So praise God. We got him. So this world, I want to talk about a couple other things. This world is not our home. And I'm talking to me. I want you to know I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. But why do I get so comfortable in this world knowing that it's not my home, knowing that God has got a better plan, knowing he's got a better place? John 14:3, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. So why am I so dead set on trying to build my kingdom in this world? I really have to think about that. the bridegroom, Jesus, the son of the carpenter, he's preparing us an eternal home. The Bible said in Matthew 6:20, we should store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Yeah, we got to live on earth. We got to live on earth, and we got to be here. We got to tend to our family. And don't get me wrong, we got to have money. We got to have it. We got to have it. I mean, we can't live without it. It's the love of money. That's where we get into. That's where we get into trouble right there. So, anyway, we got to have money. We got to have it. So we and God wants us to have provision. He wants us to have provision. He wants us to enjoy life. Hey, Uncle Maurice, he wants us to go to the Rockies. He wants us to go and look at stuff. He wants us to enjoy things. He wants us. I mean, God put it here for us to enjoy. He created all of this for us. He gave it to man. He gave it to man to subdue. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But what we got to start thinking about is that we do spend too much time, or I do, building my kingdom. I need to build my business, but I need to be about the Father's business, if that makes sense. It takes provision. It takes money. It takes all of that. But we got to remember that the love of these things, like I said, so what we got to do is we just got to put him first, no matter what we do. And Jesus said, as you go, as you go. He wasn't just talking to preachers. He wasn't just talking to preachers. He was talking to all of us. He was talking to the saints. As you go, heal the sick, cast out devils. That's what we got to be doing. So whenever we're out there working on the pumping jack, or whether we're out there welding, or whatever we're doing, whether we're dispatching, or whether we're selling boats, or whatever, you know what I mean? Whether we're pulling trailers, or whether we're down there teaching at school, or running a bulldozer, or whatever. Whatever we're doing, we got to be about the Father's business. Because I can tell you right now, He will turn the world upside down to get you connected to one person, to see them one to the Lord. I've seen it happen. Brother Spanky, you've seen it happen. I've seen it happen more than one time. So I'll tell you a little story about what might develop us and prepare us and make us a champion for Christ. Not a champion of this world, but a champion for Him. I'll tell you about this time I was on a rig. I was out in the Gulf of Mexico, and this old guy, you know, I don't hide my faith. I just don't. I'm not one of them that, well, I got my business and I got my church and, you know, I don't intermingle all that stuff. No, I intermingle mine, because the Bible said that we're supposed to. That whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means when I'm working, I work as unto the Lord, not unto men. I give honor to them. I bless them. They give me favor. Praise God for it. But I don't hide my faith. So I was out there, and this old boy I was witnessing to, he was a night tool pusher, and he wouldn't care if I told this story. Old Jeff Ewan, they call him Peanut. Old Peanut, we was talking, and Peanut said, you know, he said, I was raised in church. He said, I went to church all my life. He said, I believe in what you're saying. He said, I need to get back in church. And the day guy come by, his name was Dennis, and he started being real derogatory. He started making fun. He started just degrading and like you wouldn't believe. I'm talking about, and I'll never forget it. Peanut turned around. He wheeled around. He said, Dennis, he said, you better be careful. He said, this man right here, he's a man of God. He's anointed. He's of God, and he's telling the truth. He said, you on thin ice talking to him that way. I'll never forget that. I mean, it was a backslider telling this guy that. Wasn't me. I wasn't telling him. And so anyway, Dennis, he said, so he's one of them holy rollers. And had, he really started making fun then. He took a scripture that I can't say it in front of y'all because it's that vulgar. It's that vulgar. And Jeff told him, he said, you better be careful, Dennis. He said, what you doing's wrong. And I'll never forget that. And I got up and walked out. And Brother Spanky, I went and I wept. I said, my God, why is that guy doing that to me? But you know what? The Bible said we was going to be hated by all men. That's the only way people can be saved. You know, it ain't fun, but it's going to happen. I mean, champions are developed in pits, prisons, times of persecution. That's when we're developed. So couple days later, the tool pusher was up there running his mouth again. The company man, that's the guy on the other side of the hallway. Y'all know how this goes, some of y'all. Anyway, they brought a bunch of paint out to the rig, and they had it piled up in the middle of the, out there on the pipe rack. And the company man called me. He said, what are we going to do with that mess? He said, we got to know what MMS, and that's the government, for y'all that don't know. And you can't have paint everywhere. And Brother Spanky knows this, and some of y'all work the oil field, y'all know. You can't have paint because it's explosive. I mean, it's you can't have it in it. You got to have it in a certain storage area. You got to do certain things. So I called MMS, and I got a letter from them, and they said, well, this is what you need to do. You need to put it 35 foot from the welding shop, 75 foot from the weld head, and all this stuff. Wrap it up, put signs on it. So I printed it out, and I took it and handed it to the company man, and he said, give it to that tool pusher. So I turned around to hand it to him, and he got real derogatory again. Like I said, I can't repeat it. If I was in Philadelphia, I'd tell you the whole story, but because they can handle it. But anyway, I mean, I learned quick at become all things to all men deal. Anyhow, but Dennis, I turned around, he told me what I could do with that paper. So I just went on about my business. I said, it's yours. You do whatever you want to. If you don't want it, you don't want it. I'm gone. So he come down there where I was at, and the mud engineer, he was over here looking at something he shouldn't, okay? It's bad. It's not a good environment. So Dennis come down there, and that's that guy that's making fun of me. He started nudging me. Go ahead, Mr. Christian. Get on over there and look at it. Go ahead. You want to look at it. You know you do. You can't, you know, you just like any other man. You want to look at it. And at the time, Brother Butch Davis was working with me. He wasn't there. He didn't know nothing about it. Ain't nobody said a word to him. I walked up the steps, walked down the hallway, and he looked at me and he said, I've been praying. And he had a spot he prayed at on the rig. He said, I've been praying. He said, and the Lord told me that he's seen what happened to you and he's fixing to take care of it. And I said, all right, that was on Friday. On Monday, Dennis had been with that company 32 years. 32 years. They put him on a helicopter and they took him off. He was fired. He was done. Done. So the Lord removed him. And that's what will happen when somebody persecutes you. But what we got to do what David did. We got to fight him in the name of the Lord our God. We got to fight with the spiritual weapons that we've been given. So talk for another minute until we get through here because we're about done. And the Lord, just as he always does, you get on some rabbit trails. You know how that is. But anyway, like I said before, Champions is born in the monotonous, the routine, the day-to-day. Joseph had a dream, I mean, and dreamed that he was going to basically save his people. Dreams are only the prelude to God's will. We have a dream, and the reason we have a dream from God is so that we can do what God wants us to do. That's why he gives us a dream. But they're always followed by great trials, tribulations, difficult circumstances, kind of like the deal that happened to me on the rig. But David and Joseph, how did they learn to be governor? How did they learn to be king? It was like I said, the day-to-day deal, the monotonous, the being a water boy and all that kind of stuff. So the pain that precedes our greatest victory should develop us and make us ready to do one thing. I want to say that again, but the pain that precedes our greatest victories in the Lord should develop us and make us ready to do what? Serve. They should make us ready to serve, to be servants. Jesus said the servant is not above the master. You remember, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. You remember that? He unrobed himself. He took his robe off. He was naked before the world. He got down on his knees and he washed their feet. Some of them didn't want it. And he said, if I don't wash you, you're not going to be clean. We got to be willing, naked feet, dirty, filthy, nasty feet. We got to be willing to go and do things that other people ain't willing to do. Nastiness that gets on a fellow Christian too. Not just the world, but a fellow Christian. Somebody that's one of our brothers and sisters. Sometimes the nastiness of this world gets on them, so we got to be ready to help them too. That's why the Bible said to bear one another's burdens and to pray one for another, James 5:16. If we're ever going to be effective, we got to be willing to bear some crosses. We got to be willing to work, and we got to be willing to decrease that he can increase. We got to be willing to serve. We got to be a servant. That's what it takes. So the preparation has been difficult. Some of y'all, you may not be going through anything. I mean, I doubt it. I really believe that everybody in here is going through something, and it's difficult times that produce champions. Champions is developed in the trenches. Their finest hours, how they react in the worst of times. There's a test on how they react and when the going gets tough. Am I willing to get in the boat and go into the deep? Am I willing to get in that boat whenever it all hell's breaking loose? John 4:35, and y'all don't have to go there, and I'm not going to read it, but John 4:35, Jesus had been with the disciples all day. He'd been with them all day, and there was a great multitude, and he'd been teaching them all day. I mean, he'd been teaching them, and they couldn't get it, Brother Story, kind of like you do us. He'd been teaching them all day long. He'd been laboring with them, and they didn't get it. He'd been talking in parables, and he was explaining it to them. That's laborsome, okay? The day was long, but guess what? It wasn't an 8-to-5, 9-to-5 job. At the end of the day wasn't over yet. And I think about that sometimes with pastors like Brother Story, but Jesus told him, he said, all right. He said, now we got to get in the boat. We got to cross. We got to go over. So they was like, man, we've been doing this all day and it ain't over yet. That's the way it is for us. It never ends. We're a child of God, this never ends. That every day, every minute, every hour, God has got something he wants us to do. So they had to get across, and there was a big storm going on, and y'all know the story. But why? Why did they have to get across? Because they had to get to Gadarene, because there's a guy over there named Legion. That's the reason. And when they got there, what happened to Legion? God saved him. The Bible said that he was in his right mind, scared people to death. They dread to run him out of town. And that's the same way with us. So just remember that he still works this way. I mean, he still does things like this. He hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whenever we do a work for God, we're going to feel pressure. We're going to feel pain. God will always, always precede preparation with some kind of pain, some kind of trial, some kind of tribulation. But victory is always going to come at the end of these things. We just got to hold on, because the Bible said we're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, because he's got a plan. We got to remember that he's got a plan and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We might be 2,020 years past the time of Jesus, but God's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. He's the same God today as he was whenever he anointed David to be king. He's the same God that gave Joseph that dream. He's giving people dreams right now. If you don't have a dream, all I can tell you is because you ain't praying enough. If you don't have a dream, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a goal for the kingdom, it's because you ain't praying enough. It's because we are not praying enough. We're not fasting enough. I heard somebody say fasting was for me. Maybe it might be a little bit, but I tell you this, the Bible said that some of these come not out but by much prayer and fasting. Fasting is more than just for me. It's about accomplishing the will of God. Fasting is about getting over there, getting across that storm so we can get to Gadarene, so we can get to Legion. That's what the storm's for, and that's what fasting and praying's for. So think about this for a minute. Go back to the time when David defeated the Philistine. Think about when he done that. Two things God showed me in that deal right there. His brothers made fun of him. His daddy told him, take water and bread over there. Get your water and bread and go over there and feed your brothers, because they over there fighting. I don't know what you doing. You out there doing whatever. But anyway, get the water. Well, if you're going to be a champion, you got to be a water boy. You got to be a water boy. So, Lord, help me to be a water boy. So anyway, he gets over there, he defeats the giant, and there's two reasons why he defeated that giant. One was for the world, and one was for the church. two reasons why God uses us to bring victories. It's so the world can see the glory of God, and it's so the church can be edified. That's what it's all about. So the key is obedience in the day-to-day living. All we got to do, we got to have a prayer life. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's not elaborate. None of those things. We just got to have a walk with God. We got to have a prayer life. We got to have one just like Joseph and David did. We got to be willing to be water boys. We got to be willing to water girls. We got to be willing to take the water and the food. We got to be willing to spend the long days out in the field being a shepherd boy. We got to be willing to do all that, because that's what develops a champion. Remember, these men were water boys before they were champions. Joseph was sent by Jacob to take water to his brothers. David was sent with water to his brothers. That's what it's all about. We got to be a servant. We just got to be a servant. So I just want to conclude by saying that anytime we're called, we're going to be tested. We're going to be tested. And I've said that over and over. I realize I have, but I just want us to realize that the equipping that takes place, y'all have heard it said that he don't call the equipped, he equips the called. Well, whenever he calls us, we're not automatically equipped. There's a preparation that has to take place, and it's not fun. It's not something, it's not a good thing. It's not, the equipping has a purpose, though, because it involves understanding of God, the doctrines of the church, his will, his purpose for our lives, God's calling. It's always preemptive. It's always preemptive. It always comes before the preparation. We just got to be willing to go through the preparation. We got to be willing to go through all of the things that we're going to go through, because there's going to be some tough times. I mean, if we're going to have revival in this time, we're going to be attacked. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be mocked. We're going to be scourged. We're going to go through a lot of stuff. So just remember, and the hardships build character. Whenever Joseph got to the place of power, how did he treat his brothers? He treated them with dignity. He treated them with grace. He didn't punish them. He didn't lash out. He didn't do none of that. So he allowed himself to bring salvation, provision, deliverance to the brethren, to the church of that time. Remember, the attack from his brothers was allowed to accomplish God's purpose. It wasn't about Joseph. It wasn't about him, and he knew that. So are we ready? Are we ready to be in the place of power? Are we ready for that? Are we ready? Are we ready to be put in a place where we can win people to the Lord? Have we been prepared? Have we gone through it? Because God's blessings are always preemptive, and they're always orchestrated. God always gives us a dream and a vision for his purpose. We have to remember that, because a preemptive blessing of God is always overcome an attack of the enemy. Whenever God gives us a vision and a purpose, he's already orchestrated a plan to defeat the enemy. He's already got a plan in place. All we got to do is trust him. We just got to trust him, because he's sovereign. And he's like that, and he's good like that. God's called each one of us to be a champion. And I feel like today that some of y'all are been feeling the weight of the world. And some of y'all have been through a lot. Especially, well, all of y'all. I mean, it hadn't been just some of y'all. Everybody in this room's been attacked some kind of way. Everybody in this room's been mocked. Everybody in this room's been persecuted. Everybody in this room's been scourged. Everybody in this room's been hurt. There's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of trial. There's been a lot of tribulation. And I was hoping that the Lord would let us shout, but that ain't what happened. But anyway, I can tell you this, that God has called each one of us. And he's put everything in place for us to become a champion for him. Are we willing to go through? Some of you have already went through it. Some of you have already, like I said before, there's champions. There's already champions under the sound of my voice here today. There's a bunch of you. I mean, there's lots of you that's already, God's already prepared you. I mean, he's already got you in the place. All we got to do, we just got to step up and fight the enemy. All we got to do is step up and provide the provision like Joseph did. Because God has already given us all that we need. He's already equipped us. He's already given us provision. He's already given us the battle. He's already won it. All we got to do is step up and take it. The Bible said, say not 3 months in harvest. Look on the fields. They're white now. God has called Wallace Ridge to be a champion among the churches of Catahoula Parish. God's called this church to be a champion. And he's prepared us and he's put us through. He's allowed us to go through a lot of things so that we can win the lost. And to God be the glory. I love y'all.